Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
And through this series, we're going to learn what those benefits are that you have purchased for us with your blood. We thank you for them, and we receive them. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Okay, just a real quick story before we get into the class. There's a single guy that was living at home with his father and working in the family business. He found out that he was going to inherit a fortune when his sickly father died. And he decides, you know, well, I don't want to be alone. He decided he needed a wife to share his fortune with. And so one evening he's at an investment meeting, and he spots the most beautiful woman he's ever seen. And so his breath is just taken away. Her natural beauty, she just completely blows him away. And so he approaches her and he says, you know, I may just look like an ordinary guy, but in just a few years, my father will die and I'll inherit $200 million. Impressed, the woman obtained his business card, and 3 days later, she became his stepmother. Women are so much better at financial planning than men. So there. So as you can see, and I'm sure all you know, you got your notes, we're beginning tonight what I've called God's benefit package. And it's going to be a four-week series. Whenever someone is applying for a new job, one of the things that they are wondering after they find out what they're going to get paid is, are there any benefits, you know, right? Is there medical, dental, is there a retirement plan, a 401k or whatever? And, you know, there's a lot of people, and this really, I know this is true in Kingman, they'll take a less paying job as long as the benefits are really good. And so there are folks here. So with that in mind, we need to know that God has a great benefit package. Psalm 103, and this is where we're drawing this series from, is Psalm 103. Verse 1 and 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let me just pause for a moment there. You know, we need to get into it. And what I mean by that is, he's calling upon everything that's in him to bless God's holy name. And so, you know, I don't know that we have to be just all wild and crazy all the time, but I don't know that, you know, our personalities vary in how we express ourselves to God. However our personalities express it, we need to be into him. Yeah. And so he continues and says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And so God's benefit package is literally out of this world. And so there are four benefits listed in Psalm 103 that I'm going to draw from in the next several weeks. And I didn't list, I should have, I didn't list them in your notes, but the first one is what we're dealing with tonight is forgiveness. Next week we'll talk about healing. The third week on God's protection, and then fourthly on God's provision. It's a great benefit package. Now, the most important benefit to us, and this really is what everything else flows from, is God's forgiveness in our lives. Thank God for his forgiveness. All that is within us needs to thank God for his forgiveness. It's a universal need. Everybody needs God's forgiveness. Whether they admit it or not, you know, whether they admit it or not, Everyone needs it. And the reality is, everyone really in their heart knows they need his forgiveness. It's not like we're just bumbling through life and we have no clue. We know of our need of forgiveness. It's in our heart. And so we'll talk about some of that as far as why we need forgiveness in just a bit. But it's a universal need. I've got a classic old story about forgiveness that I looked up. I just pulled this up again yesterday or the day before and put this in my notes. No one can really say why he ran away. Or perhaps he didn't, but was kicked out of his home by his father for something foolish that he said or did. Either way, Paco found himself wandering the streets of Madrid, Spain, with hopes of entering into a profession that would most likely get him killed, bullfighting. Those who train under a mentor have a good chance of surviving this profession, but Paco's memory of his mistakes and guilt over what had happened blindly drove him to this one-way street to suicide. But that was the last thing his father wanted, which is why he tried something desperate, which he hoped would work. There was little to no chance that he would be able to find Paco by wandering the streets of Madrid. So instead, he put an advertisement in the local newspaper, El Liberal. The advertisement read, "Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." Paco is such a common name in Spain that when his father went to the Hotel Montana the next day at noon, there were 800 young men named Paco waiting for their fathers, all waiting for the forgiveness they never thought was possible. See, they recognized their need of their earthly father. The reality is every single human being knows that we know that we're sinners. We really do. And our universal need is of forgiveness. It's what gets all the rest of these benefits operational in our lives. And so Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3, or the first part of verse 3, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." Now, broadly speaking, the Bible talks about two kinds of sins. To understand, for us to really get how wonderful the benefit of forgiveness is, we really need to kind of get an idea of all that we've been forgiven of or from. And then there are two, and again, this is broadly speaking, two areas where we have all sinned in. Firstly, sin is wrongdoing. The theological term for this is sins of commission. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." All. Say all. The word sin that's used here means literally to miss the mark. It's an archer's term, and many of you have heard this before, but the word sin, what is used for sin, it comes from an archer's term that means missing the mark or missing the bullseye. Now, God's bullseye was the law, the Ten Commandments. In your notes, I think I put here 10 simple little rules. I mean, I don't know where my head was at when I was, because there are anything but simple little rules. But what I was trying to get at when I worded it that way was that 10 things that if we just do, then we will hit the bullseye of God's plan for our life. They weren't simple for any of us to pull off. Ten Commandments, things like Don't worship any other gods, including self. Don't take God's name in vain. Don't murder, lie, cheat, steal, sleep around, all those things. Miss the mark. Don't miss the mark. Don't sin. Don't miss the mark. See, the Ten Commandments were the mark. It's what we just, if we did that, we'd be golden. I mean, no, we weren't golden. The Ten Commandments were given so that we would know that we are sinful, that we are sinners. Miss the mark. We, you know, the reality is most of us never even hit the target. The truth is a lot of us never even hit the barn that the target was leaning up against. It's almost like we were all shooting with crooked arrows, you know. We're missing. We major league missed the mark, didn't we? All sin is wrongdoing. Every lie we've told, every bad thing we've ever done, every bad thought we've ever had, we have sinned, sins of commission, things we've done wrong. Romans chapter 1, verse 29 through 31 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. And so it's talking about a whole bunch of sin there, isn't it? Sin is wrongdoing, and we pretty much know that, but that's not all there is. There's more. Somebody said, there's more? Yeah, there's more. Secondly, sin is a failure in right doing. The theological term for this is sins of omission. We omitted certain things. James 4, verse 17 says, therefore, hey, and just to let you know, we're going to get into some things here in a little bit that are a little more joyful. This is heavy stuff, and I understand. But we gotta have an understanding of what sin is to appreciate what we have been forgiven of. Amen. And so, James 4:17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, this is a sin that many can overlook because a lot of people just think, well, sin is just wrongdoing, but it's more. Somebody say it's more. But wait, there's more. Yeah. It's the absence of right doing. And so I know some could be hearing this and think, gosh, I thought it was only wrongdoing. I thought it was just only what I did. If it's also what I didn't do, man, I am in trouble. And the human race is in trouble. Failure in right doing is one of the major sins Jesus condemned. Now, I didn't put this portion of scripture in because it's just too long and I thought I'd just tell it, but it's in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, Jesus tells the parable of the talents. And he says this lord or master or a landowner or rich guy gave to his servants money. And so in that time, they call them talents. It was a bunch of money. So 5 talents to one guy. One guy gave 2 talents, and to another guy, he gave 1 talent, 5, 2, and 1. And so he goes away for a long time, comes back, and the guy that had the 5 invested it and wheeled and dealed, you know, and he gained 5 more, and he brings it back, and the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. The guy of the 2 says, I have wheeled and dealed, I've invested and got 2 more, and he's well done, good and faithful servant. Then the guy that had the 1 comes up, has a bag and gives it to him. He says, here, you have what's yours. He did nothing with it. He said he dug a hole, buried it, and just stuck it there. And then he brought it. He didn't blow it. He just didn't do anything with it. And that was the problem. He simply did nothing. And the moral of the story that Jesus told is he had something that he did nothing with. Sin of omission. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 32, Jesus is telling a story here, and you'll recognize the story. He said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. But now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. You see that? When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came, looked, and passed by on the other side. Now, then the story is a Samaritan guy comes by, and he takes care of him and takes him and binds up his wounds and takes him to an inn and pays for it and takes care of it. So anyway, he was the guy that did something. But the sin of the priest and the Levite wasn't that they beat this guy up. It wasn't that they kicked him while he was down. They simply came, they looked, they saw, and did nothing. Jesus told the story of a rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man had a whole bunch of stuff, and Lazarus was at his gates just wanting the crumbs that fell from his table, and they both died. And the rich man, his sin wasn't that he drove Lazarus away. It wasn't that he beat him or anything like that. It was simply that he did nothing or next to nothing. You know, I've always wondered about that story because it says that Lazarus was laid at his gate wanting only the crumbs that fell from his table. And if he, and it from the gist of the story, it's not like this happened just one day. It was like this was a continual thing. Had Lazarus not even gotten the crumbs that fell from the table, he would have probably shifted and gone somewhere else. So, in other words, the rich man's sin was that he did next to nothing or crumbs, okay? So we can look differently at sin than God does. We think of it as wrongdoing, but it's more. Somebody say, it's more. But wait, there's more. It's the absence of right doing. You and I were made to love. We were made to give of ourselves. We were made to be forgiving. We were made to help others. And when we fail here, we miss the mark. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And this portion of scripture that follows here gives a whole list of things that are bad sin. But it begins, and I just included in your notes the first part, the perilous thing. What is this perilous times that are going to come? The first thing that's listed for men will be lovers of themselves. It's not what you would think would be listed as the great sin, but it's the first real sin, because from this, lovers of self, everything else rotten flows. And so people will be self-absorbed, self-interested, selfish, loveless. Lovers of self are closing themselves off from others. And it kind of sounds like the day we're living in, doesn't it? Kind of sounds a little bit like that. Sin is failure in right doing. Okay, so now we want to look at why we do what we do. And I'm talking about the human race, why we do what we do. There is a reason. There's a reason we do wrong and don't do right, and it's because it's our nature. Now, I'm building somewhere, so you guys hang with me. all of us have heard of somebody comment on someone who has just natural or seemingly natural ability. Like, you know, there are athletes. I was thinking about Steph Curry. Where they're the NBA playoffs are right now, and I've been watching some of the playoff games. I'm amazed. I played a little bit of basketball. I wasn't always that great, but I enjoy it. I really enjoy watching other guys who are incredible. And these guys do such, I mean, it just blows my mind what they do. And Steph Curry, he lost last night, but they're going to come back. You know. So anyway, but he had a game several nights ago where he had a 50-point game. And so this guy, and he works at it. He does have ability. God-given ability, but he works, and he works hard, works out, stays trained and all that. But I can tell you, if I worked as hard as Steph Curry at basketball as he did, I would have a, 1-point game. You know, I would have no point in the, you know, I wouldn't even make a free throw, you know. So, but he has this God-given ability, and he's you know used it. So he's a natural-born athlete. That's my point. There are people that were natural-born musicians. No doubt they applied themselves and all of that. Mozart, Beethoven, and these guys, they had an ability, really a gift that was given them. They were natural-born musicians. But listen. Everyone born from the time of Adam and Eve are natural-born sinners. We don't have to learn how to sin. We are good at it. The human race is good at sinning. You know why? Because they're natural-born sinners. Granted, there's some that outwardly it seems are worse than others. No doubt. There are atrocities that are done by some people, but whether somebody commits an atrocity and mass killing or something horrible like that, everybody in the human race, we're all natural-born sinners. And this is kind of what, not kind of, this is what Psalm 58, verse 3 is pointing to. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Psalm 58 is talking about us, the human race. I know there are sometimes parents can get so freaked out. They're raising little kids, you know, and little Billy, you know, he's been told, you don't eat cookies before dinner time. And so Billy's, there he is with crumbs all over his mouth and crumbs all over the counter you know. And his mom comes up and says, did you eat some cookies? No, crumbs and, you know, spraying. And no. And then the parent, oh, my gosh, he told a lie. Why would you tell a lie? How have we failed you? You know, you've told a lie. Because it's innate. They don't have to learn how to lie. Kids are natural-born sinners. I know that it's a terrible thing to say, but it's true. Come on, help me out here, folks. There you go. Thank you. Ephesians 2 and verse 3 says, among whom we all, say, that includes me, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The Greek word that's translated nature here means lineal descent, a genus or sort, or native disposition. In other words, natural born sinners. And this is the reason why we're guilty of wrongdoing and we fail in right doing. Why? Because we're natural born sinners. The human race is sinful. Romans 5, verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5, 12 is pointing out our inherited nature from our great, 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 great grandfather, Adam. Now, all of this, and this is why, you know, it gets kind of quiet and all, because we know that this is the state of the human race. Sin is kind of a heavy subject to deal with, but it's the problem with everybody. And so it's a pretty bleak picture. Natural-born sinners, until we read Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That's the positive after the negative. After the negative of we're all natural born sinners, we have a forgiver. Amen. And all we have to do is avail ourselves to it. Romans 5 verse 6 says, for when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were wrongdoers, when we failed in right doing, when we were natural born sinners, Christ died for us. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. God's greatest benefit to us is forgiveness, who forgives all your iniquities. This is a good thing, because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Someone said, if God were not willing to forgive sin, heaven would be empty. The entire Bible is written, and in your notes, I put on the assumption that man is a sinner. Really, premise, or the understanding would be a better word there. So I scratched that out in my notes. If you've got a pen, you could write in premise, P-R-E-M-I-S-E, or understanding that man is a sinner. We're sinners, human race. Every one of us, all of us, have a history that screams this very thing to us. We're sinners. D.L. Moody said, the voice of sin is loud, but the voice of forgiveness is louder. And we need to hear and believe the voice of God that speaks from Psalm 103, who forgives all our iniquities. We need to understand something about the nature of God, and that is, it's easy for him to forgive. Now listen to this tonight. One of the parables Jesus told was of two men who owed another rich guy a lot of money. And in Luke 7, verse 42, it says, and when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. This is talking about the nature of God. And so he freely forgave them both, this guy. And we know one guy did right, another guy did wrong. And so anyway, but it's easy for God to forgive. It's easy for God to forgive. Yes, amen. The story of the prodigal son, he says, I want what I want, and I want it now. And so his father gave him his inheritance up front before he died. And the guy goes and just blows it all. And then comes dragging back home with nothing but rags on his back, asking to be forgiven. This is a wonderful story. Luke chapter 15, verse 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and bring and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. This is a picture of God. Jesus told this story of this guy that had gone and blown his life away, comes back, and Jesus tells this story there's a number of stories within the story, but the great overwhelming message of this story is of the Father's love and forgiveness. The Father didn't have, the Son didn't come to, he was ready to grovel. But as the Son comes and he begins, he's going to grovel. He knows, and he's humbled, and he's remorseful. He's, I've sinned. And if you read the story, he had his whole speech lined out. He didn't even get to the rest of his speech. His Father cuts in and says, bring out a robe, put it on, sandals on his feet, ring on his finger, restore him, all of this, kill the fatted calf. Why? Because of the Father's love. The Father didn't have to think about it. He didn't say, I'll give you a week or two. You know, let's see how you do. Maybe be a servant for a week or two, and then maybe we'll think about welcoming you back in. It wasn't that way at all. The Father ran to him and restored him, forgave him, and Jesus is giving a picture of our Father God's heart. Isn't that great? Amen. The woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus said, he that's without sin cast the first stone. Listen, the only one that could have cast a rock at her didn't. He frankly forgave her.
Right.
Didn't condemn her.
Right.
Forgave her. Forgiveness is easy with God. Now, there was nothing easy about what it cost God to purchase our forgiveness. So I know some people would be offended by that statement. Forgiveness is easy with God, because they say, it's not easy. It wasn't easy for what the price that he paid for our forgiveness. Jesus was whipped and beaten, and the beard plucked from his face, and he was mocked. His sacrifice, his love was mocked and ridiculed, hung on the cross, speared in the side, and he died, poured out all of his blood for us. There was nothing, and I would never make light of his sacrifice. Nothing. It was the most horrendous sacrifice. Nothing easy about that. But now that he has paid that price, for him, it's easy to forgive. Because Jesus paid the price, horrendous, horrible price, so that we could be forgiven. And so we ought to avail ourselves. We can avail ourselves. It's easy for him to forgive us because Jesus paid the price.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Who forgives all our iniquities. We have to appreciate this. All. Tell yourself all. Every one of them. Every lie we told, every bad thought we had, everything we did, everything we failed to do, in a moment of time, forgiven when we ask Jesus to forgive us and come into our hearts.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So if we're going to receive, and this is the key point on this, in this lesson, if we're going to receive all that God has for us, all his benefits, we have to begin with an understanding of his forgiveness. He forgives the things from our past, doesn't he?
Yes.
In Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Or is it, well, whichever way east and west is. Yeah, well, anyway, that, yeah. You can't. Can't get it. Sins are gone.
Amen.
He continues to forgive for the things in our present, and I should have put in your notes, in the future, for when we do fail. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." So why is this so important? Listen, if we carry a sense of guilt, we won't have the confidence to come to God for our needs. We won't receive the benefits that He has given us if we feel like we just are hesitant about being able to come to Him. One of the oft-repeated words from God to us in the Bible is the word, I love this word, come. Come. Isaiah 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Matthew 11 verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." The only way that we're going to be able to feel free to come to Him is if we have a real sense of forgiveness. And all of us should carry that with us. If we've asked Him to forgive us, we need to have the faith to believe that He has done what He said He'd do, because He paid a horrible price for it. This is why God lets us know He has made His forgiveness so available and so easy, so that we will come to Him. You know what God wants from us more than anything else? Us. It's a mind blower. This, you know, I've been a believer now for forever. 48 years. Almost a half century. And this understanding still completely wastes me. That God wants me. Not just me. You know, you say, "Well, yeah, you're a pastor." No. Gosh. God wants us. He wants you. He wants me and you. He wants us. More than anything else, He wants us. Why did Jesus pay such a horrible price? For us. When we were yet sinners, He died for us, say for me. And He offers His forgiveness so easily, so that we don't need to avoid Him because of fear. The fear of rejection or the fear of correction. You know, we need not be fearful to come into His presence when we've messed up. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so it's a wonderful thing. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. And forgiveness with God to us is easy. I'm telling you, it's easy. He doesn't have to think about it. He thought about it before we ever even were. Yeah. Exactly. Lamb slain. Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He'd already got it all worked out. And so Jesus paid the price. It's easy for God to forgive us. And we need to know. See, this kind of teaching and preaching, I was hesitant in my early years of ministry about talking like this, like forgiveness was easy with God, because I thought, well, man, you know, people, God, if, you know, people, if I teach and preach this way, then it'll give them a license to sin. I've realized something about us people. People don't need, nobody needs me to give them a license to sin. If they're wanting to sin, they're going to say, they don't need a license for, ooh, I got this license. He gave me a license to sin. It's not that. I don't have to give anybody. It's that license, man. Ooh, man, I got a license to sin. It's not that. Somebody wants to sin, they're just going to sin. It isn't because of a revelation of God's forgiveness that, so it's so easy for God to get to sin now or to forgive, I can just go out and do whatever I want. That's a dangerous place to live in. Hard heart and seared conscience and all that stuff. That's a message for another time. So as I bring this in tonight, there are two things we need to do with the benefit of forgiveness. First of all, we need to take advantage of it. Why would we not? Some people think, well, you know, I prayed the sinner's prayer sometime, but man, I've messed up too many times and God must be getting tired of me. Can I tell you something? Get off that. God already knew you. And so maybe you have messed up a bunch and he's not getting tired of you. He's after you. He wants you. He desires so that. Now, there's another reason some people may not take advantage of forgiveness, and that's because they're just not willing to stop doing what they're doing yet. I'm not going to ask forgiveness because I still kind of like this. And so that's, again, a dangerous game. And so we need to take advantage of it. There is no reason for any of us to go on with a sense of guilt for our sins. In Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, again, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. There's a reason he tells us not to forget his benefits, and that's because when we've sinned or made a mistake or had a failure, we can forget to take advantage of this benefit. Don't forget it. You're going to need this benefit. I could almost prophesy. I'm not prophesying sin on you by any means, but I tell you, you're going to need, we are going to need this benefit. Just shake your head at me so I know you got it. Thank you. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The operative word we need to underline in these portions of Scripture is that three-letter word, all. We need to take advantage of his forgiveness. Okay, and then the other thing, we need not to take it for granted. We need to take advantage of it, but don't take it for granted. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The word neglect that's used here in the original Greek that it was written in means to be careless of. Now, we can be careless of a lot of things in this life. The other Sunday morning, I was here at church. I couldn't find my keys. That's a drag. I was careless. And I looked all over I looked in my old office, I looked in my new office, I looked around, and then I realized I probably left them, locked them in the car. And so I got the other keys, got them, and everything was okay. And I got me. I know you guys were really nervous about that, about me losing my keys. But be relieved, I found them, and everything is okay now and all. But that was, you know, we can be careless about it. Your wife tells you to pick up milk on the way home from work, and you are careless, and you just forget. You know, we can be careless about that one you may pay for, but. There are a lot of things, you know, in this life that we can be careless of. One thing that we should never be careless of, we should never take for granted, and that's the benefit of God's forgiveness. Never take it for granted. We don't take it for granted. Take advantage of it, but we don't take it for granted. The precious blood of Jesus was shed so that we could know we're forgiven. And tonight in this place, or if you're viewing online, or in the future view this online, we can know that we're forgiven. The wonderful thing of the Christian life is knowing, because everybody knows that they've sinned. They may deny it. They may say, I'm as good as the next guy. Well, you're setting the bar kind of low there. Good as the next guy, yeah. We all need, we're all sinners. We're natural born sinners. We had to have Jesus come and shed his blood. He did. And so what do we do with that? Take advantage of it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, it still moves me deeply. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I remember, it's been 48 years, but I tell you, I'm not forgetful of what that old me was and did and was forgiven of and rescued from. Thank you, Jesus. I got just a rush there because I know, we know we have been forgiven. Take advantage of it. Never take it for granted. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. We're going to close with a word of prayer. And I want you to just repeat this with me, if you would. And if you're viewing online, maybe you've never asked Christ in your heart by praying this prayer, you do that. And we'll just receive forgiveness. You can know, we can know. So I want you to pray this with me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving all of my sin. For everything that I did that was wrong, and for everything right that I failed to do. Thank you for your willingness to forgive me when I fail in the future. I will not allow sin to keep me from coming to you. I will take advantage of the forgiveness you offer, and I do not take it for granted. In your name, Jesus, amen. Now, would you give the Lord a big clap and just thank him? We do thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a great benefit. It's a great benefit package. Next week, we're going to talk about healing, and I know there are those that are dealing with some things physically. It's going to be enlightening. Then we'll talk about God's protection. We need him to protect us, don't we? We're going to talk about God's provision, and then everybody gets really excited. Wow, that's right, because he's a provider. Benefits. You have a great benefit package in Jesus. God bless you. Take your notes with you. Look over them through the week. Go over them. Let it get down deep into your heart, and we'll pick up again on Wednesday. Don't forget about the weekend. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.